fans to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 375. As this week, we bring you the first hour of NWA Clash of Champions 9. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is on extended medical leave and is recovering from his surgery last week. Our scheduled guest host could not make it, so Shane Shadows of the Independent Rewind on YouTube is back with us for this special event. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1989, and pretend that Troy, New York, and New York City are the same thing?
Absolutely. I can't wait. I've been waiting for a week here. I'm glad you called me. I'm glad I've got a chance to fill in for this one, because this one ought to be a lot of fun.
Okay. For the listeners who care about this, we went up 24 spots in the U.S. leisure charts in terms of leisure podcasting. We're also up in the U.S.'s overall and sports rankings and in the global rankings. So, Shane, thank you very much. And listeners, thank you very much. I'm glad everybody enjoyed Halloween Havoc 92. Despite some poor reviews for the show itself.
And our pithy observation thereof.
Yes. And of course, you can visit us on Patreon. I'm sure I'll talk about this later. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback and get all of the shows, get our shows in advance, and get bonus shows if you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, which is the second level tier or higher. Yes. And if you want to advertise, that's good too. There's instructions on how you can do that. Just drop us a whole bag of money, and we'll do that. Okay, so yes, Shane's suggestion won the vote of Clash of Champions 9. So we might as well start here. Welcome to Wednesday, November 15th, 1989. This is WCW at the RPI Fieldhouse in Troy, New York, in front of 4,000 people. Now, in the month of September, WCW ran a few shows in the Northeast. For places they'd never been before. On September 28th, 89, they visited Troy, New York, and apparently drew a good enough house that they decided to have the Clash of Champions here.
Oh.
Yep.
I don't remember that. I've never heard that story. I do know that they were doing some events in the Northeast during that time because they were doing, they did the Capitol Center in September. And if you give me 1 second here, I can verify the date because I have the ticket stub up here on the wall. Okay. It was supposed to be Flair and Terry Funk in the main event. But Terry, they had to advertise at the door, or all the signs on the door said Terry Funk was injured and he was not going to be able to compete that night. And he was going to be replaced by Dick Slater.
Of course.
Which was an outstanding, outstanding match in its own right, because Dick Slater was an outstanding talent in and of himself. I have this ticket. I'm looking at the, I have like framed photos of like the tickets here together, but I knew it was September of 1989.
Well, I try to tell good stories, but yeah, they were hitting the, I mean, they were hitting the Cap Center regularly before that.
Yeah, they had started in the Capitol Center. The very first time they ever ran the Cap Center was the Great American Bash 87 tour, which I was also at as a 15-year-old kid, and the place was jam-packed, 22,000 strong. A lot of those matches still exist to this day on YouTube from NWA Worldwide taping that they, I think, played like a week later. And then some of the other matches I saw more recently that was like on NWA Pro, but everything hasn't always been on YouTube. So,
right.
And, good fun stuff trips down memory lane.
Still not on YouTube, and YouTube stuff goes up and goes down, which I'm sure.
Which
we'll discuss when we do the Patreon section for our patrons, but
gotcha.
Okay. So they did the show on September 28th, and yes, the main event was Ric Flair beating Terry Funk. But don't worry, this one's different, so that's good. The previous show for WCW, they ran a worldwide taping on Monday night, November 13th, in Corpus Christi, Texas. On that show, they did worldwide, and they taped the Power Hour, both for airing on November 25th. So on worldwide, it was Brian Pillman beating Lex Luger by disqualification. And for the Power Hour, it was Ric Flair defending the title successfully against Mike Rotunda.
I remember those matches. As a matter of fact, I specifically remember Flair and Rotunda on the Power Hour. That was a good match.
Thanksgiving weekend. Match. That one's up on YouTube, by the way, if you're looking for that.
Awesome. Flair was wrestling a lot of good opponents on television during that period. I mean, he was feuding with Funk, but he was also, they were doing TV matches, but there was also a great match with Flair and Bobby Eaton.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
from that era as well.
That's true. Now the WWF, still trying to counter stuff that WCW did. They didn't like the idea of this Wednesday night show on TBS drawing a big rating. So guess what they came up with?
Drum roll.
That's right. The first ever Survivor Series showdown aired against The Clash on November 15th, 1989. And, you know, this being WWF, they went all, well, they didn't go all out for it, but they did an okay card. You had, let me see again. You had Demolition Smash taking on Ted DiBiase. It was one person from each opposing Survivor Series team taking each other on a bunch of singles matches. So yeah, Smash versus DiBiase, Hercules against the Macho King Randy Savage, and of course in the main event, your Intercontinental Champion, the Ultimate Warrior, against Tully Blanchard.
You know, I don't remember them specifically doing that Survivor Series showdown that way, but I mean, I do remember Tully. But did Tully actually wrestle the Warrior?
Yes, that was Tully's last match. That was Tully's last match, yes.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, because he gets suspended thereabouts around the same time.
Yes, he does.
So, yeah, but I don't remember them going up against that. But, I mean, that was a very common thing during that era, you know.
So, yeah, according to the history of WWE, WWF ran four shows on Monday night, the 13th. The A show was the WWF debut in Roanoke, Virginia, where Dusty Rhodes beat the Big Boss Man, and in the main event, the WWF champion Hulk Hogan defeated Bad News Brown. The B show was in Dayton, Ohio, and on that show, it was Demolition, the tag team champions, defeating the team of Arn Anderson and Haku, and the main event was the Ultimate Warrior beating Andre the Giant. The C show was in Nashville. It was Roddy Piper versus Rick Rude. It's scheduled to be a lumberjack match. Don't know what happened. And Randy Savage beat Jim Duggan for the King's Crown. And supposedly there was a D show in Biloxi. No results for that, but it was supposed to be Roddy Piper versus Rick Rude and the Rockers taking on the Rougeaus. So Piper,
I guess that's very possible, depending. That was a Monday, though.
That's a Monday, yeah.
Yeah, so there is no double shot on a Monday. I doubt that anyway.
Well, anyway.
But that's, it just shows you the depth they had. I mean, there's two good main events on each show.
Yeah, this was back when they had C shows, so yes.
And there's a lot of depth.
Yep. Let's see. You had Hogan, you had Warrior, and you had Savage, so that makes sense.
And Piper.
That's true. All right. The AWA. Their previous show was on Monday as well. They hit on Monday night, November the 11th. They were in beautiful scenic Berlin, Wisconsin. On that show, it was the AWA Tag Team Champions, the Destruction Crew, defeating the team of Paul Diamond and Tommy Jammer. And in the main event, the AWA Champion, Larry Zbyszko, lost by disqualification to Baron Von Raschke.
That has Fair Show written all over it.
Yeah, it does.
The Wisconsin Cheese Fest or something.
Yep, probably does. The USWA was in Dallas and Memphis, so USWA on Friday night in Dallas, it was Billy Joe Travis beating Eric Embry by disqualification and Jerry Lawler defeating Kerry Von Erich. Jerry Lawler at the time, the unified champion. The USWA Monday night, it looks like they were. Yeah.
Their sportatorium match is probably played on their syndicated show. I used to get that syndicated show.
Okay. USWA in Memphis, I think was, I want to say it was Monday night. But I mean, I've got written down here that it was Wednesday, but I want to say it's probably Monday night. On that show, the Southwestern champion, Tony Anthony, defeated superstar Bill Dundee. And in the main event, the unified champion, Jerry Lawler, defeats Dutch Mantell. Let's see. Yeah, the pro wrestling news going on. I mentioned the Survivor Series showdown. The Survivor Series showdown was the lowest rated WWF primetime show in years, despite having Ultimate Warrior versus Tully Blanchard. It did not make the dent in the clash that WWF wanted. Other news from the Observer and Torch. Arn Anderson's jumping to the NWA alone because Tully Blanchard allegedly failed a cocaine test, and it's certainly possible that he did. And
one of the most controversial events probably in the history of, at least during that era.
And WCW wouldn't take him, and cut the salary that they offered Arn because of it, because he wasn't coming in with Tully.
Arn lost $250,000 or something on his contract because Tully didn't come in, and they wasn't considered as valuable without him. And it basically ended Tully's career.
Yeah.
I mean, he still did some independence and some different stuff, but all the way up until he started to appear on AEW, he really hadn't any kind of national presence on television in 30 years or better. And this was a top talent. This was a top tier talent. Tully was not just some mid card guy. He was an upper. He was a main eventer.
Yes, he was. All right. Now this one was sort of a blind item that's in the Observer. Paul Heyman got signed by ICW. That's the Civoldis as their new booker. Then in his first television taping, managed to get fired. And there's a story behind it. Yes, I found the story in Ray Odyssey's blog. They were doing a TV taping in Brooklyn at Gleason's Gym, which was a famous boxing gym there.
Yes, Johnny Rods' training center.
Right. So the mic went out during Heyman's promo, and Heyman started to swear. That brought Mr. Gleason into the ring to tell Paul to calm down. Heyman, of course, stayed in character, delivered a blistering promo on the gym, on Mr. Gleason, and on Brooklyn. So after the show, Mr. Gleason brought a few of his boxers into the dressing room to murder Paul Heyman. And the story is that Rochester Roadblock held off the boxers long enough while Mario Civoldi begged Gleason not to have Paul Heyman killed. And he just fired Paul Heyman instead. And Paul managed to escape with his life.
Well-known humanitarian that Mario Civoldi was.
Yes.
I've worked for Mario Civoldi and that group. And I let me tell you that they had any... And then that's a great story. And ironically enough, Surfer Ray Odyssey appeared on... We just did this past week and this coming week, or this current week, or however we play this, ICW tapes. We just played some ICW tapes and we had Ray Odyssey matches. Ray Odyssey was a good young talent himself. He was along the lines of a Candido from that area. Great talent.
Yes, great talent.
Just like I plug my own show on the Independent Rewind.
That's part of the reason you're here.
Absolutely.
And speaking of plugs, we'll be back after this message. So, folks, if you've lasted this long, that means you're not on Patreon, and that means you're getting the version of the show with commercials. And we'd like to tell you about our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Basically, it's very simple. You get on the first tier, you get every episode we've ever done, including the ones that were behind the paywall on Pro Wrestling Torch. Wade Keller struck a deal with us so that we could do that. That's all 375 episodes. If you miss Jim Valley, I miss Jim Valley too. And all the shows with Jim are on there. The shows, the recent shows, we take out the commercials for you. And we make sure that it goes up on Patreon in advance of when it goes up on the feed for our regular listeners. And for those of you who subscribe to the Black Scorpion tier, we have bonus matches that we've done in the past and bonus episodes. In fact, we just completed a bonus episode with Shane covering the very first episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And what an adventure that was. You got to see Bobby Fulton and Ivan Koloff and Robert Gibson, and for that matter, the Black Scorpion, sort of. Lots of fun and entertainment on that, and on everything we do. So, please support your local independent podcasters. For as low as $4.50, you too can not only support podcasters, but you can get all these episodes in advance and commercial free. And I think you like that. And all the episodes Shane's done too.
Hey, and those are big in Brazil, from what we've understood.
Yes, huge in Brazil, actually.
Huge in Brazil.
So Shane Shadows is huge in Brazil. Remember that. And join us at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And, join us in time for the holidays. It makes a great holiday gift for somebody. Give the gift of Wayback Playback. Okay, and page two is over. And we're back. Okay, so we're on Peacock. We've gotten to Clash of Champions 9. Hopefully you have by now. I'm at 0 minutes and 0 seconds, Shane. Is that about where you are?
I'm at 0 minutes and 1 second.
Okay, I've got a black screen. So everybody, we're going to try to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And off we go. Yes, this is the Clash of Champions 9. And one thing you should remember about the WCW days, when they got a good piece of video footage, they kept using it forever.
Yeah, this intro was introduced like a year or so earlier at the Clash of Champions. Yeah, right. And they used it on the main event, and they used it, and they did in fact use it. Yeah. I think up through like 92 or 93.
Yeah, there wasn't a Western States Heritage title at this point.
Yeah.
Terry Funk does not want Ric Flair's belt. They did some good promos leading up to, well, they did some good promos throughout 89 when they were feuding.
This is a great feud. So physical.
It's also pride. Ric Flair in the sound studio.
Yes.
With the cushioning behind him. Pride.
Integrity.
And really, his promos aren't that different when he's a babyface, which is probably fine.
No, he just yelled bless.
New York Knockout. Apparently, there's a checkered flag, so there's some sort of auto race going on. I don't know.
Apparently, according to somebody.
Yeah. New Knock York Out. Yes.
Yes, I was working at Denny's. I was a 17-year-old kid, and I managed to convince my manager to let me off at 8 o'clock. So I could go home and watch this. And he allowed me to do so as long as I brought him a copy in the next day.
Well, that seems fair.
Yeah, I was very fortunate back then.
And this is a rare clash where we get Gordon Solie with Jim Ross. All right. Look, everybody's there. Hey, security's doing a great job, by the way.
Yeah, you couldn't do this nowadays with people walking by and.
They'd be flipping the bird. They'd be, you know, screaming obscenities. Assuming they're not now, of course. You must publicly announce that you quit. Yep. Gordon Solie does a great job setting this up. Can't imagine Flair saying I quit. Can't imagine Funk saying I quit.
This is probably the best work of Gordon's latter career.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the WCW payroll here, but I mean,
Gordon he wasn't really into it for the last year.
No, and Gordon, by everybody's admissions and so forth, had a serious drinking problem, and Jim Ross apparently went to the stick for him to get him into this gig.
Yeah. Well, it's the perfect one for, if he's going to be on one, this is the perfect one for him to be on. All right, let's start things off with the World Tag Team Champions.
Who had already lost the belts that hadn't been played on TV yet.
Well, that's true. and Jim Ross will mention that this is a non-title match, and Jim Ross will mention that on the Saturday edition of World Championship Wrestling, the Freebirds will be defending the tag titles against the Steiners.
Yeah, just 3 or 4 days from this, and then the Steiners win the belts for sure.
So it begs the question, why not have the Steiners win the title on the live show? And,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about this version of the Freebirds?
Not as good, obviously.
You know what? I think Jimmy Garvin takes a lot of beating. Yeah. I think these guys,
takes a beating because he's not Terry Gordy, which he can't help. Let's face it.
Well, more to the point, he's not Buddy Roberts Terry was in and out during this era with him.
Yeah.
But Jimmy was younger than Buddy, and right. Buddy was a great worker. And Jimmy was a great worker too, but I think this is just the Freebirds name had a connotation that people they associated certain stuff with it, and it wasn't this. I like this variation of the Freebirds is like the rock and roll band,
yeah,
version of the Freebirds, not the Southern Confederate redneck hillbillies. Yeah. Good, we're gonna do our first commercial. We haven't had our first match.
Get a commercial in before the before the Road Warriors come out.
I didn't mind this version of the Freebirds, but obviously from listening to the Cornette's podcast, that they had a lot of trouble working with them because they kind of had that mentality that they were going to be like strong heels, and Jimmy Garvin wouldn't sell. I mean,
Jimmy Garvin not selling for Steve Dr. Death Williams is mind-boggling.
Yeah. Oh, I love that story. Oh, that's one of the best stories I've ever heard, and I'd never heard it until like the other year.
Yeah,
I had never heard it, and I just think that that's just a great story. But I also remember watching and how they said, you know, Garvin would just like kind of plow through guys.
And go back and watch some of the stuff and like, you know, kind of.
Yeah. And I mean, he had made his whole career as, you know, as a chicken heel. All
right.
And, you know, now all of a sudden he's, you know, I didn't mind him.
Being a tough guy.
I thought that they were.
They got heat, brother.
Yeah, I thought that they had some good stuff. I mean, I don't know that the quality of the matches was great, but from what I was seeing, it wasn't bad from back then.
All right. So it's the Freebirds and Road Warriors. They, actually, you think about the Road Warriors, great opponents. They've had a lot more matches with the Freebirds than I remembered.
Yes, but probably this version more than that big match they had in Chicago at Superclash in '85 was against Hayes and Gordy.
Yep,
it was in front of 30,000 fans. Those stairs, I remember that being a real concern for me. It's like somebody's going to fall down these steps; they're just too high.
Oh, there we go. Nice. Here we go. Back in the easy way.
Not to oversell it, obviously my involvement in wrestling for the last almost 30 years, I've been in the ring when the Road Warrior music came on and those guys came marching towards the ring. And I got to tell you, it's one of those things that will put goosebumps on your arms. My Lord, I was just, and they were past their peak at that point, obviously.
And they didn't edit it off of here for some reason. I mean, for whatever reason back then they used they slowed down Iron Man by Black Sabbath a little bit,
Well, nobody cared.
Right.
The musical rights stuff didn't become a thing until the 90s. You can thank Metallica for that.
Well, I'm sure they're not the only ones, but yeah.
Yeah, that whole Napster thing. We're getting ready to hook them up here. Let's go. Hayes with a headlock.
Oh, well, I got the military press going on here.
Uh-oh. He's already ducked a punch and stooged.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-oh. Okay. And Road Warrior Buck off the ropes, big shoulder block. Down goes Michael PSAs.
But Garvin's bumping. Hayes is moving in slow motion, but Garvin was...
All right, hot tag to... Well, not exactly hot tag to Garvin, but there he is, and there's Hawk fighting his way out of the corner.
Oh, wait a minute. You must be ahead of me.
It's possible. Drop kick.
Yeah, I didn't... Did you fast forward through the commercials?
No, I didn't. I just kept... Oh, you had commercials?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Yeah. I had the break where the commercial's supposed to be for TBS, but I didn't have a commercial on it.
Okay. So
that's what it was. Okay.
Okay. So Hayes is back in here. So I'm back with Hawk pounding away on Hayes.
Okay. Well, I've got Garvin and Animal, and Garvin's setting up and he's suplexing Animal. And why don't I just freeze it there at 7 minutes, 59 seconds?
Press slam of Michael.
Yep. Okay. Pause at 7 minutes, 59 seconds here. And what? Once Garvin suplexes Animal, let me know so I can just hit play again.
I'm at 7:10. I'll be back with you in a second here. Gosh.
Well, what commercial did you get for that? Jeez.
I don't know. It was one of those long ones.
Yeah, I guess so. So the $9.99 version of Peacock, no commercials on that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm a cheapskate. $4.99 forever, baby.
I know, buddy. It's okay. Yep. But I mean,
remember my first appearances on this show. I didn't even have the network. I'm just kind of calling from memory and add commentary. Yep. 44,
46, 47,
48.
We're getting there, folks.
50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 56,
we got a suplex.
57. Hawks, Animal's back to his feet.
All right, I was back to so the suplex is over. There we go. He popped up.
Yes, big clothesline on Jimmy Jam. He's rolled big to the
Garvin
deck.
Okay, now I'm a few seconds behind, but we're good. All right, so Garvin rolls out of the ring. Yeah.
Great hair on Garvin. Great hair.
Animal's jacked. Yeah, Garvin does have great hair. The tights sort of match for the Freebirds, but not exactly. Yeah. LOD. LOD. There we go.
Cool. The Coors Light sponsorship, which was famous from the Clash back in the summer when they incessantly
he throws him into the Coors Light turnbuckle.
Oh. Yeah.
Last one of the Coors Light ring post. Yeah. Hey.
That's all common stuff now. Jesus, oh my Lord, I can't believe how badly he missed. The timing on with these two teams is not good here.
Yeah,
they're
not in sync, and here comes Hawk.
I haven't watched this in a long time, and
It did not get stellar reviews this match. So,
no, it's like you don't. Back then, you didn't so much talk about that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, he screwed up. They botched this. Right. They screwed up that. You just didn't talk like that back then.
This wasn't. Yeah. I mean, I like the Well, first of all, it's almost like it's not a way back playback unless Michael Hayes is in the opening match. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we go. Jimmy Garvin's in.
shoot him off into the corner.
But I mean, the idea of starting people out with, okay, the Road Warriors matches on, oh, well, we'll stick with, you know.
Yeah,
Road Warriors will get people to stick it. You know, we'll get people to stay with it in a way that, you know, say Brad Armstrong against somebody is not necessarily going to, but we'll see.
Yes. It's not always the best quality wrestling match. And this was around the time that that was changing. It used to be like just a good, solid, fundamental opening match was all that was needed. And you built the card up from there. This was around the time that it started to change.
This hour, folks.
Yeah, there's a lot of NWA always had a lot of tag team stuff. Yeah. Hayes missed with the left, but connected with the right.
Okay, here we go. There we go. There he is. Okay, so I'm a little behind, but there he is. They got him in the corner. They're working him over. What's Tommy Young doing there? He's just like,
yeah. You figure this is probably one of the... Tommy Young got hurt and had his career ended within a couple weeks of this, too.
Yeah, I know.
That ridiculous match that they somehow aired on TBS where the lights went down and his back got...
Oh, that one going to reshoot it. Come on, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't do that kind of stuff back then.
Oh, we don't reshoot.
But they could just put a different match in there, for God's sakes.
Right. There we go. Boom. Up.
I'm a huge Michael Hayes fan. I think he's one of the best talkers and personalities in the history of wrestling.
And Gordon, but, and if there's one thing Gordon knew Michael Hayes. They worked so often together on Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Oh, absolutely.
Tommy Young just got thrown by Hawk, so.
Yeah.
I think this match is not, I think we're not long.
Yeah, I think it's getting thrown out. Yep, it's done. Tommy's called for the bell. Hawk's pounding on Hayes. Well. We should have just played count the clotheslines in this match.
That's true. We could have had the clothesline counter going.
Yeah, I think right here, that's a double. That I think now we're up to like 28, 5-minute match.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good suit, Paul.
All right. Well, he's dressed like a visiting professor at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, which is
Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Ladies and gentlemen,
RPI Fieldhouse. Yes.
We now know what RPI stood for at RPI Fieldhouse. No, I didn't.
RPI, actually, it became famous because when I was in high school on the Paul the Sixth High School math team, we borrowed the RPI's math team cheer. I'm not making this up.
I know you're not. More's the pity. Uh-oh.
Hey, okay, there we go. All right. Oh, Jim Ross standing by with Terry Funk and Gary Hart, who apparently are going out after this to the melting pot for some fondue.
where did that come from?
I mean, look at what they're wearing.
Gary Hart's with the sweater, and like he's got a might as well be carrying a pipe, wearing a tweed hat.
Mm-hmm. Terry Funk cutting a total babyface promo here.
Foreshadowing the turn.
Yes, very nice.
We're not even really a turn because they took him out of the ring after this.
Yep.
But I don't think I think maybe Terry was hoping to turn the tide there so he could get a. Extend the run a little bit.
Right. Well, they wanted Terry Funk to be an announcer, and he was a good one. So
Terry's very good. I liked him and Chris Cruz together. Yeah, they Crispy Cruiser.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked that one worldwide. That was like the block on Saturday mornings. I would get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and watch USWA from Dallas, and then it was worldwide, and then it was. Wrestling or Superstars and then Wrestling Challenge. Yeah, it was for like 4 hours in a row is what I had like Saturday morning.
20 and then Channel 5 and if you're in DC, yeah. If I was a quitter, you're not a quitter. Okay. Oh, there's going to be a special award presentation after this.
Wednesday, December 13th, the pay-per-view Future Shock.
Future Shock,
one of the most confusing concepts in the history of wrestling.
Yeah, it made no sense, but that's,
I got a commercial here.
Oh, you got a commercial? All right. Well, I will pause this and at 14 minutes even, because we're back at, when we hit 14 minutes even, we're back in the ring with the lights and Jim Ross is about to introduce Bill Apter, because you can't really do one of these without Bill Apter, right?
Good old Bill Apter.
Yes.
I've never met Bill Apter.
Yep. Well, more
I wish I had, but I never have.
Well, we met Tim Walker. That's good enough.
the world's most dangerous photographer.
He is.
I hope he's out there listening. Tim gets a lot of play on our show because he's in so many of the video clips. And it's funny because if I don't know the name of like a referee or something on a small show, he'll always end up
hitting
me back. We're back here. And
we're back. All right, so 14 minutes. Okay, so Bill After.
Bill After. He's about to hand, well,
looks,
I don't know.
Pretty much almost exactly the same. Except
pretty
younger.
Much.
He's younger, but yeah. All right. Okay, this is the vote for the most popular wrestler in the NWA. They're not claiming it's a PWI award. They just dragged Bill in here to. Yeah. Yes.
I think somebody gets handed the Wrestler of the Decade trophy or something here, too.
Maybe. Most popular wrestler in the NWA. Hint,
Randy
he's
Mulkey.
Not wrestling on this show. And there he is, Sting. Fans have spoken.
Yeah, and then the crowd sounds like they're irritated.
Yeah,
looking good, Stinger.
That's an outfit there.
There's the trophy.
You need the leather jacket and the
face paint and the spiked blonde hair.
What would you like to say? I'm not worthy. I love the skinny tie. Okay. You know, they don't have to be soliloquies. And Sting can get that. Sting can get away with that one.
I like this version of Sting better than I did the Crow. The Crow drew more money, at least for a short period of time,
yeah.
And had more longevity. But I just like this version of Sting better.
Right. Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine has an award for Wrestler of the Decade. Gee, I can't imagine who this could be.
I can tell you who it isn't, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I know, brother. Yeah. He's the six-time NWA champion. Harley Race. No.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. It's a Nature Boy.
I think Harley was in between gigs at this point.
I think he was. Yeah. He'll be back. All right. How do you feel about being Wrestler of the Decade, Rick? Yeah. Right. I mean, Flair could play these things absolutely straight.
He was amazing at this. He was amazing at that because he had the verbal skills. He didn't always have to be so over the top.
Yeah. Right. There we go. Oh, my goodness. Doom is up next with Woman. Tell him, Bill.
Yeah. The Bill and Jim show. Okay, so we're getting ready to go to another commercial.
Yes. Yes, and do you remember who the Doom is facing?
Is the Steiners?
No, not this time. No,
oh,
no
commercial. Okay, it looks like Tommy Rich.
Oh, yes.
From a distance. Is it Tommy and Eddie?
Yes, it is. Tommy Rich and Eddie Gilbert.
I was getting like that far away shot, but.
Hi.
They barely had her dressed at this point.
Right. There we go. Right. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, if TBS is willing to put her on looking like that, I didn't see them changing their mind. You know?
Yeah, yeah, didn't mind it then, don't mind it now.
Yep.
Poor thing.
I know.
Right. Okay.
It was a large surprise for Rick Steiner. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
and he probably wouldn't have minded reciprocating, but
I'm sure he would have. But
that
Jezebel. All right, here we go. Okay, back to Gary Capetta. Yes. You're there. So the last time Eddie Gilbert had a surprise partner was Ricky Steamboat. Obviously, they couldn't do that this time, but here's Wildfire.
Right. I tell you what, see, Wildfire came in here after they let Steamboat go.
Yeah.
They let Steamboat go over the contract dispute, and they had Tommy fill it in with Luger, filling in as a challenger with Luger, and I saw them two working in Washington. They had a pretty good match. Tommy was a good worker. Eddie was brilliant. He just...
Right.
These are both two guys whose careers got derailed because of their issues.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie more of a drug problem, obviously. Tommy was just like a heavy drinking hillbilly.
Yes. Eddie Gilbert did earn the distinction of being with both Missy Hyatt and Medusa, so.
That's pretty impressive in and of itself. Ron Simmons and Butch Reed are doomed. The worst kept secret in wrestling. For God's
sake. Who could
they
be? Who could they possibly be?
Is that Leon Spinks back there in the background? Or
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't think so.
I'm a trainer. Woman presents Doom. It's like, you know, yeah, no kidding. There's Butch, there's Ron.
Their music in this era was Her Strut by Bob Seger.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're dubbing over.
Yes. I remember that. I don't know who the J-Brones are in the tuxedos. But...
guessing the local indie guys or
and the days before in many enhancement guys were used to enhance the show. I have a great recollection of this match, but I can't imagine it goes too awful long being they just introduced Doom.
They're just big everywhere. Thank you, Jim.
Is this their debut?
No,
they already debuted.
No, they were at Halloween Havoc before this. So.
Okay. I saw Doom and Steiner January of 90, so just like 6 weeks, 8 weeks after this match.
Oh yeah.
I saw Doom and the Steiners in a cage in Baltimore Arena.
Right. And after they got unmasked, they ended up with Teddy Long. So,
yes, they got unmasked, I think, in February, I believe it was.
They got unmasked at the Clash.
Yeah, the Clash in February. Right. The one where Flair turned on Sting and Sting blew out his knee. And...
Yep. Yeah, just a great start to 1990 for WCW. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
About how many minutes after this did Hot Stuff Gilbert walk out and go back to Memphis as Booker?
Around for a while.
Yeah.
It looked like they were in the middle of when he left, it looked like they were in the middle of a lengthy feud between Eddie Gilbert and Samu for some reason. Probably because management didn't like Eddie Gilbert.
Yeah, Flair wasn't a fan.
No.
Eddie was good, but Eddie was a great talent, but he was always going to be the kind of guy who was going to work on top in a small territory, was going to work underneath the big territory. The problem was Eddie didn't know the difference.
Right.
He thought that he should be working on top of the big territories, and it just wasn't going to ever work out that way. It never did.
There was no way. Nobody at the higher level in WCW thought of Eddie that way.
But you know what? Fast forward Eddie 30 years, and he's on top.
Yep, sure. Fast forward Eddie 30 years, he's headlining Full Gear against Kenny Omega, probably.
Yeah, that's on tonight, isn't it? Or,
yes. Yes. Shane was willing to skip Full Gear in order to do this.
Yeah.
Sacrifices of this man.
Rolling reverse here. Nice. Gilbert going for it. Now, the previous year, and a little slight trivia note here, the two men who are in the ring at the moment, we're in the finals of the United States Tag Team Tournament as partners. Last
Champions Four, yes.
Yes.
Remember. Boom. There goes Wildfire.
Oh, somebody say something about being fired up.
The only wrestler I know named after a Michael Martin Murphy song.
and that was his pony. Oh, arm drag takedown by Rich. Mm-hmm. I love the mullet here on Tommy.
Spikes, oh yeah, it's perfect.
It's not even a business in the front, party in the back. It's party on top and a bigger party in the back. Oh, nice leapfrog. Coming in, big block. Feed. Feed. There it is.
All right.
Nice little stalemate here. I always like Tommy Rich's work.
Mr. R. Yep.
The, absolutely.
Serious Mr. R. There we go. You tell them. Yes, the brilliant notion. Oh, you put two black guys with a white woman. It's going to get heat, brother.
And it was already too late for that type of stuff. They just, you know, the notoriously passe thinking of the decision makers in wrestling never caught up with it, you know. And they still try it.
Yeah, they do.
Side slam. Oh. Right. And just enough on that, you know.
All right. Boom.
Ooh, Tim Burr on that suplex. Yep. Slow one. Almost Harley-esque.
All right, and Doom 2 brings in Doom 1 or something, or the other way around, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Who's our official here? Tim Walker.
I don't know.
I think it might be Mike Atkins.
No, it doesn't look like Mike Atkins.
You remember Mike Atkins? He was one of those guys that was around during this period, but it got let go.
It doesn't look like him.
I thought it was maybe him with like a tamer hairdo.
Yeah. Open him up. He's got a different looking face.
Yeah, keep him open. Keep him open. That's a very integral part of tag team wrestling. When you're making that tag and you want to get that extra shot in, you got to keep the man wide open. Doom did a good job on it. This
I don't know.
On
that,
Eddie.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I don't think it's Mike Adkin because the face is all wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a different. Yeah, I just got a good glimpse of him up front. I don't know who this guy is.
It's not Mike DiMuzio either. So.
Yeah, well, good.
Yeah, well,
I
don't know.
And a cover.
Some guys are.
You got to be careful leaving the back door open.
It's not Dick Worley either. So. There we go. There we go, brother. All right. Tommy All right, Wildfire Rich. Okay. Oh, the elbow. Yep. That's the bread basket. Come on. Oh, backdrop.
Time is it? 10.
There we go. Oh, nope.
10:16.
All right. Boom.
Oh.
Hi, Dalton.
We got a Donnybrook here. Pier 6 going on.
All right. Oh, there we go.
Oh, big. That's it.
A doomsday device, I guess.
1, 2, 3. Doom gets the Duke.
And Tommy Rich takes the pinfall.
Yes, I have to take a quick pause here real quick. I'm going to let you wrap this up, and I'll be right back in a moment, all right?
I understand. All right, yes, big win for Doom, showing that they can defeat a team of veterans like Gilbert and Tommy Rich. And once again, Future Shock is taking place on December 13th. The mind-boggling idea of a round-robin, four-person round-robin and a four-team round-robin on the same show. It's in the archives, folks. You've got it. I think Johnny Schuyler might have been on part of that with us. All right. Oh, Mr. Jim Cornette's here. So it must be time for another big tag match where Cornette's in a... All right. Yes, Jim Cornette hosting the Louisville Slugger. Right. Okay. And he's welcoming the Steiner brothers for some reason. Hi. Hi, Steiners. Why is Jim Cornette interviewing the Steiners before his match? You have a name for that move, Scott Steiner. That's right. Jim's still a babyface for about 15 more minutes. Yep. Oh, Rick came up with a name. Yeah. I like it. Right. So they got the skyscrapers tonight. Hey, Scott, can you try that Frankensteiner move on Sid Vicious or Dan Spivey? Yeah. Cornette's like, yeah, they're kind of big. There's not a person in the world. Right. They can't do much when they're on their backs. Okay. That's coming up. That's coming up, I believe, in our second. It'll be coming up next week. Steiners and the Skyscrapers here on Way Back Playback. So you want to be there for that. And by the way, when Shane comes back, I'll have to wish him a happy Full Gear weekend. Yep. Never hit a lady. All right. Woman is no lady. Oh, dear. Yep. Right. Yep. Right. Yeah. All right. Oh, my goodness. The Steiner's mom could slap woman around. So we managed to avoid getting, so Rick Steiner managed to avoid cursing, which is always good. Right. Yes. Okay.
Yep. I have returned.
Okay, so Jim Cornette's hosting the Louisville Slugger with the Steiners, and Rick Steiner just named his brother's finishing move the Frankensteiner.
It's beautiful. I see Jimmy here doing the interviews, which is kind of surprising given the...
Given that he's about to be in an important deal in our next segment, yes.
Oh, that's up next?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I haven't watched that in years, but what a great,
yes.
As I recall.
This is money.
All right, no commercial against it.
Folks, if you haven't seen it, now's the time. Yes, Jim Cornette's two tag teams are going to finally face off against each other.
And the backstory, of course, is that something had been brewing, allegedly, between Stan Lane and Johnny Ace were old rivals because they fought over a woman in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Which is plausible.
Wiping out, wipe out, wiping out. Wow, wow,
I'm surprised
wow.
He didn't wipe out.
That was the song that...
Oh, I know.
It came out
I'm
to
just
you.
Playing along to it. Yes. Troy Martin in Troy, New York.
Yeah, all right. What could be better? John Laurinaitis is a surf as a skateboarder.
See, I like this. I like this angle, though, the way they set it up and made it... They
the angle,
it out,
yes.
Like, yes. Like Jimmy and Stan were having problems because Jimmy was trying to help the dudes, but Stan had a hard one for Johnny over a woman when they were wrestling in Florida, and they both did wrestle in Florida at approximately the same time. So it was that kind of detail work was, you know.
Yep. It just came off of straight jealousy, and here they are.
So that's like a workout climbing up those steps to walk down those steps.
You know what? This looks like the finest discotheque in Troy, New York.
Without a doubt. You talk about a big league outfits. I mean, these guys, Stan was these guys were great together, you know, the glue that holds the Bobby Eaton, just bless his heart, Bobby Eaton was
outstanding, great wrestler.
Oh my God. Yeah. Great good talent dude. And a great guy.
Great dude from people who knew him better than me.
Oh, absolutely. I only knew him a little bit and thought he was a great guy.
Yep.
You know, no one ever had a bad thing to say about Bobby Eaton.
The legendary story about Bobby Eaton is, Bill Dundee told his daughter, you never date a wrestler. You date a wrestler, you marry a wrestler, I'll disown you. So his daughter comes to him and says, Dad, I'm in love with a wrestler. And he freaks out and goes, who is it? Who is it? Bobby Eaton. Okay. Well, you can date Bobby Eaton, but no other wrestler.
Bobby, if you're going to pick one, you pick the right one.
Bobby Eaton's fine, but none of the other wrestlers, please.
And you know what? And Bobby and Donna stayed married the whole way through up this year, and then Donna died of cancer, and Bobby died a month later.
Jeez.
Nuts. I forgot the Midnight Express gloves.
Yep.
That didn't last long.
All right, so they got the babyface dynamic dudes against the babyface Midnight Express, although...
Yeah.
They're teasing that they've gone. And what happened? The Midnight Express were baby faces after Paul Heyman and the original Midnight Express came after them. So this was a great way
to turn them back.
Yes, it is.
They were portrayed in the baby face spot And Bobby's telling him, Jimmy, you belong in this corner. And Jimmy's insisting that he doesn't belong in this corner.
Jimmy's in a neutral corner for this match.
I'm neutral.
Yeah.
The finish of this match is great, except that they got the reaction they didn't expect.
Well, they got the reaction that they didn't expect, but pretty much everybody else did.
Yeah. The problem here is the Dynamic Dudes didn't get over because this was their real bubblegum version of the Rock and Roll Express that they were going to try to manufacture towards kids, except for the problem was that NWA wasn't big with the kids at that point. Yeah. NWA was more Edge, more blood and guts type wrestling. Right. Oh, caught him in the abdominal stretch there.
Oh, there we go. All right, Bobby. Oh.
Now they got tangled up somehow on that.
Don't forget to call the wrestling hotline, or don't, 1-900-909-9900.
From personal experience, for those of you who maybe haven't experienced it yourselves, which I'm guessing is most of our listening audience here, if a guy crowds you too much on an arm drag, it can kind of come across clumsy like you just saw with Bobby and Shane here.
I mean, it's okay if stuff is a little messy from time to time, but, you know.
Yes. I think it lends itself to the match for it not to be perfect.
Right.
But it's not okay to
barely make contact on a dropkick like that when you know Eaton has to go out of the ring. So.
Right. Douglas is in good shape here. Yes, Stan's in good shape. Drop toe hold.
There we go. Yep. Yeah, but I mean, in terms of experience, there's, you know, Stan and Bobby have it.
Oh, by miles. This is probably the biggest national match that Shane Douglas had up to this point on national television.
Right.
Now, weeks earlier, of course, I think the Dudes challenged the Freebirds at Halloween Havoc to a large round of boos.
Yes, the Philly fans were not interested in seeing the Dynamic Dudes win the title from the Freebirds, and not because they liked the Freebirds.
Yeah. It's like it's just sometimes, especially with that era of wrestling fan, people talk about marks and how fans weren't smart and this and that. People knew, and they weren't going to be force fed or manufactured. It wasn't the lack of effort lack of effort on the Dynamic Dudes' part. I think that they were both trying hard.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, he missed a
And apparently these were two tag teams that for various reasons Jim Herd didn't like.
So. He didn't like them, so the Cornet said he felt good because this was the angle he wasn't gonna mess with because he hated them both.
Right.
So they just let it roll.
Yeah, and then
this did tend to put the Midnight Express back in more featured more prominently.
Back in a role they were more comfortable in.
Yes, because, you know, they had probably ran as far as they could. I mean, they were accidental baby faces for the previous year.
Right.
Really. Yeah, just out of a need of portrayal, but they had just been beaten to powder, and just they were still so good, you knew it. Did you ever watch the episode of my show? I found this DVD. I got it from Scott Teal last year, the great wrestling writer out of Nashville. Yes. I have one of the few matches that, Leapfrog, nice drop kick. That time he caught one good, and one was not quite as good.
Less good, yeah.
But during there that time that the Midnight Express was leaving WCW, they were just taking that sabbatical.
Right.
I have one of the rare matches that they did when they were on that sabbatical. And it was one of the matches I featured earlier this year. It was the Midnight Express with Cornette against the Continental Tag Team Champions of Jimmy Golden and the Mongolian Stomper with their manager, Ron Wright.
I'll have to go back and pull that up. Yeah.
That's a great match.
That's the sort of thing we live for here.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I live for. Cause I mean, I've lived my whole life in wrestling on the independents as a wrestler, as a booker, as a promoter. And those are the matches that I showcase
now. You get to see
now.
Stuff on the independents you don't get to see anywhere else.
You're absolutely right. Stuff you never even knew existed.
Yep.
Yeah, that the 3 weeks that the Midnights didn't work in WCW during 1989, I got one of their matches, and it's on my show. So right. Check there us out, please. Collar elbow tie up. Yes. We're back with Douglas and Stan here.
All right. There we go.
Vertical base here with that headlock.
And a belly to back. Ooh, nice. Nice.
Nicely done. Going to miss that elbow. Yep. He's going to hip toss him here. Nope, arm drag go. Instead. Arm drag. God, everyone's getting tangled up with Shane on these arm drags. It has to be Shane's fault.
Nothing personal, Shane, but, you know, yeah.
That one was better.
I don't remember Shane doing a lot of arm drags when he was doing it, when he was in his franchise days. So.
Yeah. Well, this was predates that. To me, good arm drags are a staple of a good baby face, which, of course, as we now know, they wanted Shane Douglas desperately to be a good baby face. He just was not one. He just was not one. Oh, that Bobby Eaton punch. And again.
Vince gave him a shot as a baby face, and then he came back, and he got another run as a baby face in WCW. A more successful one, I'll say.
Yeah, well, him and Steamboat. That time, Shane had a lot more power.
You know, if you can't get over as a baby face and you're Ricky Steamboat's tag team partner, then it's time to hang it up.
Yeah. Much better coming off the
No.
Nice block.
Okay.
Another rolling reverse.
Up
the buckle.
Ooh. That's funny. Yep.
There's certainly no lack of effort here. I mean, that's right. For sure. I mean, these guys are trying to kick it up a notch. But you know, you're starting to get no one's breaking the rules yet, though. Right. See, it's like you're building up the edginess. I mean, obviously, we've had the moment with Stan.
The fans are into this. They haven't lost the crowd.
Stan and Johnny hooking back up again here now.
Stan.
With the man with the educated feet. But they're trying to keep. It looks like Stan and Johnny's interactions have been very limited, and they're kind of the nucleus of this feud, this angle. But nothing they've done here. Nice. Oh, block to Beal.
Right.
Oh, another block.
Okay, Johnny. Here we go.
Nice Beal by Johnny coming for a drop kick. No, well positioned into a monkey. All right.
You know, Shane Douglas mentioned this on my podcast once and mentioned it a few hundred other times that he's not a big fan of Johnny Ace.
Who, Shane did?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder why. Well, I mean, Johnny has a bad reputation in the business now as kind of being a yes man and a stooge. But, I mean, you know, and I guess maybe that's why Shane doesn't like him.
Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. I'd have to go back and listen. But, yeah, that was a big part of it.
But you know, I mean. Did Shane really work with him during that period of time? Russian leg sweep. But maybe, I mean, all personalities don't work.
No, they don't. Yeah. No, not everybody can get along. All right, time for the rocket launcher.
I think nobody's home. Let's see.
Oh, got the knees up.
Up.
Oh. Hey.
Tag made. These guys are breaking. They're breaking their ass. I mean, everyone's working super hard here.
Yep. I mean, nobody, there's no back issue up. With the amount of effort.
Oof.
Right. Okay. The dynamic dude's doing well.
Oh, doing that drop slam that Shawn Michaels used as a finisher for 2 weeks after he turned heel. And a Stan breaks it up.
The teardrop suplex chain.
Yep. Here it comes.
Oh, he's got the chain. Why does Bobby Eaton have a chain? He's wrapping it slowly around. Nope.
Oh.
Backdrop.
Knocked him right out of it. Now Cornette's in
there. Cornette's got the chain, and he's like, how dare you?
He's got a cast eyes Bobby here.
Like, beautiful. You can't do it any better.
They love
these are all the college kids and the young guys. And wrestling fans.
He's
like, thank God. Yes.
Nobody roots for a stupid baby face, and that's what the dynamic team just got played. The die was cast.
They're back.
And Bobby had that funny smile. You know, he would laugh. Shame on you.
The whole ringside section
loses it. They're on their feet, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, what a crowd reaction we have in Troy, New York. All right, now this this will be our final match of the of this episode, and boy, what a doozy we're gonna get.
I don't remember what it is.
Because no Clash of Champions is complete without an appearance.
I'm on a commercial.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll pause it. I'll pause it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're building
43-33, folks. When Shane comes back, he'll see who's in the ring. Okay, what commercial 20, you got?
19 seconds.
Okay, yes.
Can't wait. It's probably like the mercenary or somebody.
Oh, you're not wrong. Let's see.
Is this somebody who doesn't belong on the show, but they just do in their?
Well, I'll say they belong on a Clash of Champions. You almost can't have a Clash of Champions without this guy. Okay, so
and we're back.
Okay, you're back.
43-17.
All right, way to get the tight shot in the ring. Like I said, no Clash of Champions could possibly be complete without an appearance by Jack Victory. They win.
Oh, so he's on the okay. Yeah, Jack's the Super Destroyer, huh? The
Super Destroyer. That's
good looking suit, Ranger Ross. Yeah. No, it's all Dr. Death.
Oh, yeah. Steve Dr. Death Williams.
One of the greats, mm-hmm. but never really completely got over here.
Yep. Well, he had to choose. You know, in the end, he had to choose between WCW and Japan, and he chose Japan. And who am I to say he's wrong?
Yeah, he was a big time player in Japanese wrestling. Yep. And was he with Baba at this point? Because I know when he first went there, he was with Inoki. Because yeah. He appeared on a lot of those World Pro Wrestling video cassettes that were from like the late 80s and were New Japan tapes. But I don't know if he's with Baba yet, but Baba made him one of the biggest stars.
I believe back in the era where Dr. Death came to the ring to Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood.
Yes. Okay, I recall that. Oh, here's
Santa Claus. Oh, Trucker Norm, excuse me.
Oh, sorry. Santa Norm. Oh, Super Destroyer trying to take the
Super Destroyer attacking before the bell.
Yeah, trying to take the Wiz out of the dock quickly.
Oh. A 300-pound man we have not seen before. Thank you. Thank you, Jim Ross.
Yeah, I like Jack Victory. I like Norman. Mike Shaw was a good dude.
Yep.
He was a good worker, too, for a big guy like that. Oh, he ran it. Oh, yeah. He hit it again. Hit it again. No. I'm gonna think. Oof.
Oh, no.
Doc lands on his feet. I think we're about home.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think this is going to last much longer, folks.
Here, buddy.
Call it a hunch. All right. Boom, 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 boom. Come on, Doc. All right, and Trucker Norm's at the announce table.
Look, how strong are you?
Yeah, Doc. Seriously.
I mean, Victory.
You're gonna gorilla press Jack Victory a few times. Okay.
Cold, and you could see he didn't. Yeah. It wasn't like Jack was pressing him.
Yeah, Jack didn't exactly get up for that one. You know.
Yeah. Good
there goes a table. There goes a poor innocent ringside table.
I don't recollect this match either.
Well,
and for yeah,
this is designed to showcase somebody, and it is not Jack Victory.
Yes. Earlier in the, you know what I like? Here it is. We're done.
Yeah,
we're done. Oklahoma Stampede time. I like Secret Service Jack Victory.
I know. Well, I know you do.
They were completely, Paulie's bodyguard and all that. That was great. Dr. Death with a quick one here.
Right. Nice win for Steve Williams. And Norman's giving him a teddy bear.
What's going on with Norman here?
He's his buddy.
See, but they had Doc was a baby face and he was a heel, and now he's back being a baby face. They just didn't know how to utilize him to the best.
Well, they had plans for Doc, but it didn't work out.
They always say that. We had plans for him. Well, if you had plans for him,
they were advertising him for Wrestle War 90 against Luger, and
oh yeah, Doc. Okay. And obviously,
all right. So this is where we're gonna stop at 47 minutes and 16 seconds. The reason we're gonna stop it here is we still have three more matches to go, and I guess we'll do those next week. Those matches are the Steiners against the Skyscrapers, as discussed in the Steiner interview. The rematch, Lex Luger defending the U.S. title against Brian Pillman. And, of course, the two words, five letters, I quit between Ric Flair and Terry Funk.
It's
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmé for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
So that will do it for this. So Shane, tell everybody how they can watch the Independent Rewind.
YouTube. Shane Shedders presents classic endings, some of the great independent matches from all over the U.S. and all over the world over the last 35 years. Check us out on the Independent Rewind. New shows come out most weeks on Thursdays at noon, but we also do what's called Wild Card Wednesday, which shockingly comes out on Wednesday, where we just press a button and sometimes we don't have any idea what we're even going to be talking about, what matches we're going to be showing. So it's a good time if you like. There's been a lot of big time stars from the past come through the independence.
Have a lot of stuff from the early 90s on there. Yes,
we got just an absolute ton and with some great talent with some of the most recognizable names of the past 35 or 40 years. So please check us out. Sounds like viewership's up, talking to my friend Frosty Rob, who runs the network with Steven Sarks. Looks like the viewership is up the whole way around, and we're in no small measure, I think, comes as part of us being part of the Wayback Playback the last couple of weeks. So we appreciate the opportunity that you've given us to get our product out there and get it to be more seen.
We scratch each other's backs. It helps everybody out.
Absolutely.
Shane's on YouTube. Shane is not on Twitter. I am on Twitter. Jim Valley at Real Pat McNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley. And I guess we're going to do that. Many of you know, we have been in the habit since the Torch days of putting out an episode on Thanksgiving, of putting out an episode on Thanksgiving instead of the Sunday after Thanksgiving, because normally these drop on Sunday. So I was going to do the vote for the Thanksgiving episode a little early, starting it a week early, so that, you know, when we record it a little early, we'll be ready for it. But that involves having a, you know, and usually when we do the Thanksgiving episode, it's a standalone. It's a fully complete 1 hour show. So that's where we are, and we're looking for that. We're going to put a vote up on Real Pat McNeil on Twitter for the 1 hour show that we would like to put in that spot. Now let's see. So looking over the fan choices for the 1 hour show, for 1 hour shows that we have, probably the best one that will fit will be the episode of Raw, October 4th, 1993. That's the one with the 20-man battle royal to decide, getting him down to two people to decide the Intercontinental Champion after Shawn Michaels left.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's one right there, 10/4/93. Okay. Now, Shane, do you have anything in mind? What we've done the most of? Last year, Lodi guest hosted, and we did World Class, one of the episodes from blowing off matches from Star Wars. But anything that's an hour will do. Most of the years we have done Saturday night's main event, Jim and I, except for the one year that we did the AWA Team Challenge Series pilot, which is its own adventure. If you've ever
Lord, yes, absolutely. So anything that's like an hour long from that era,
anything that's anything 15 years old or older that's like an hour long that we can knock out in one episode. I know this is a lot. And if you just want to, and if you just want to do a Saturday night's main event, that's fine.
That sounds good.
Okay, which one?
How about we do the one from November of 1986?
I don't think we've
I seem to remember the matches as being Hogan against Hercules, Piper against Bob Orton.
Oh, that's a good, yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, that would have been the week, I think it was the Saturday after Thanksgiving, 1986.
Yeah, because a couple of years ago we did Saturday after Thanksgiving 89 with Hulk Hogan against the Genius, which of course is another classic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that 86 one just popped into my head.
All right, that's a good idea. Saturday night's main event. Let me just cue that up here. All right. Let's see. Yeah, let's see. Okay, so Saturday night's main event from 86. I'll just find it in there. All right, so what am I going to do? Let's see here. Something maybe a little more contemporary. I'm thinking the Monday before Thanksgiving in 1995, particularly the one-hour Nitro era. So let's see, November 20, 1995. And it's a one-hour show, and it has a specific main event on it. I believe that's the night of Sting versus Hogan.
It sounds right.
And WCW Nitro. Let me check that. Sting versus Hogan, and underneath that is Road Warrior Hawk against Bubba Rogers.
So. Okay. Oh,
and Flair versus Eddie Guerrero. Okay, that's a pretty loaded episode. This is from the
I vaguely remember this one. Yeah.
Macon Coliseum, Macon, Georgia. Okay, let's see here. Okay, yeah. Let's see. Yeah, Scott Norton versus the Shark. Okay. The Rogers versus, all right, and okay, here we go. Let's see. All right, I think that's it. Yep, I think that's the one we're going to take. Okay, this is leading up to their classic World War III show. So, Nitro, November 20, 1995. Okay, November 86 with Saturday Night's main event, and you know what that leaves, Shane?
What's maybe that?
Well, it's time to get the big wheel out.
Oh, it's time for the wheel. Okay.
Yes. Let's see here. Hold on. Crap. It'll be also time for me to do some editing so that I can make sure that we don't have this dead spot here while I cue up the music I need. But, yeah. Okay. Let's see. The world famous sound effects here. All right. So, yes, we have the big wheel that The fourth entry is always chosen from the wheel, where we have all 5,000 shows that are on the they're on Peacock or the network that are eligible to be chosen, 15 years old or older, and some other bonus categories we have on there. And what I do is we give the wheel a final spin and we see what turns up. So here we go. Oh geez, did I just do that? No, I didn't. Okay, not that one. Let's go here. Let's try this. Okay, here we go. Get a big spin. All right. All the categories on the wheel. ECW TV, World Championship Wrestling, Thunder, Hidden Gems, and we stop at. Oh, let's find out what we stopped at. Here we go. Let me hit play. Anybody? Okay. Well, Shane, can you hear enough of that? Yep. It is NWA World Championship Wrestling Saturday Edition.
There you go.
Oh, boy. And it's Saturday edition from July 16th, 1988, shortly after the Great American Bash. The only matches on there that would qualify as competitive, you've got Al Perez taking on Agent Steel. And, yes, Dick Murdoch against Curtis Thompson, the future Firebringer champions.
Let me tell you something. Any Dick Murdoch match from that era was entertaining.
All right. So there we go. That's four perfectly good Thanksgiving entries right there. NWA WCW from 7/16/88. All right. I'll put those up on the wheel. I'll put those up on the poll. It'll be there Sunday when this goes up, and we'll see what we pick. But you know, I mean, it's always fun putting up an hour of wrestling on Thanksgiving. And
I watch wrestling every Thanksgiving.
I know you do. So it's perfect.
Usually a Starrcade or Survivor Series.
It's perfect because there's not really a Thanksgiving wrestling TV show anymore.
No, and there's no big specials. It's kind of disappointing. Yeah.
Well, I guess they'll have Impact on Thanksgiving, but you know.
Yeah, everyone's going to brawl over a turkey or something. It's always
that's what they do. All right. So anyway, I'm at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter, MCNEILL. Jim is at Jim Valley. Shane is on YouTube. On the Independent
I'm on
Rewind.
YouTube at the Independent Rewind, and of course on Facebook at Shane Shadows, CPW Wrestling WV.
Okay. And be sure to leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. And if you'd like to know more about the Road Warriors, the Fabulous Freebirds, Eddie Gilbert, Tommy Rich, or Ron Simmons, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer, or you can check out your local library app because they're all in books. Shane, do you know your line?
Yes, I do. Same. Join us next week. Same way back time, same playback channel.
And hope everybody had a great Full Gear weekend. And until we meet again, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.